Okay, class, welcome back again. We left off last week talking about taking the word from a principle to a person. We left off at John chapter 1, so we'll go back there again just for context to read. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the word was made flesh. It's no longer on the paper, but it's now walking around us in person. So let's talk about a couple more things. Last week I was talking about having context, make sure you know what's going on around, make sure you know who he's talking to, why he's talking to them that way, why he speaks to one person one way. It's just those things, context really gives you an understanding of what's being said. It's very, very important to understand what's being said and why it's being said and not just be saying stuff just for any old reason. Right now, you can even say it right now. I would tell a grown adult something different than I would tell a child. I would give a grown adult more responsibility than I'd tell a child. I would say things in a different way because I know the understanding is different, right? So this drives us to our personal relationship and personal stance with Jesus in that way. The Word of God is a story about you that's pushing you towards your original identity in God. This is what it's about, right? And so, although a manual is good in certain instances, right? A manual was written by a man. So remember now, the word comes from life. It's written, is actually written by somebody. It wasn't a book first and then it spoke man to existence. No, it wasn't like that. And so now, and then a manual is also good, but the word manual, this is so dope, I love words. The word manual also means doing it yourself. You have automatic, then you have manual. Some things, when I work with certain computers or certain machines or whatever, you can put it in auto and it'll do it on its own. But then you got manual where you're actually doing it yourself. Pilots do that. They can do autopilot. When at a certain range, they can put an autopilot and the plane will pretty much fly itself on the course that's been set. But then there's some instances when there may be weather or maybe something come up or certain situations that you got to take the thing off of auto and put it in manual. Why? Because now you become alive and begin to live that moment. And it's very important, we're talking about pilots, it's very important to know how to be manual. Right? Emmanuel, right? Know how to be manual so that, because sometimes those pilots have to divert weather. The weather is part of life. So it's there. It's not that you shouldn't be flying, but sometimes you have to go in another direction. If you just put it on autopilot, then you're trying to fly through everything, and who knows what's about to happen to you because you're not in control. When you're in the law, when it's just principle, you're not in control. You can't navigate that way. Right? And, you know, I would wonder why people go through so much drama, why people's lives end up the way they do, or why so much hurt. They know the word, they know the scripture, and it gets to the point where sometimes you're an autopilot and the word of God has never become manual to you. It's never become alive, right? Behind every manual was a man that wrote it. And sometimes you get a manual, you get a thing that tells you how to do something, but sometimes you don't quite know how to do it and you need to call customer service. Or you need to speak to somebody, right? You need to speak to somebody because somebody may be able to tell you in person or in live or understand where you are in the course of what you're doing that the book or the script or the manual could have never spoken to you about because it wasn't alive. You don't learn how to take a shower from a puppy. I know that's weird, right? You don't do it. Why? You don't, because puppies don't know how to take showers. They're not thinking like that. So you don't take your lifestyle from something that is not built like you. So now we got paper and it's written. We begin to try to build ourselves around the paper, but no, you have to build yourself around the person. Only a person can relate to me what a person should be. This is the whole reason and the complete reason that God sent Jesus to us. They said, I like it in verse, verse, let me skip through, I'll read a little context, and this is for context, since we're talking about context. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness, watch this, comprehended it not. Didn't understand it. It couldn't really see what the light was. Watch this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, still talking about Jesus, which lighteth every man that come into the world. Watch this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. But as men as received them, to him gave he power to become the sons of God. Remember, we talked about son last week, what a son is. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And in verse 14 again, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we go. We have been in church for years. And we've celebrated Easter, and we said, he is risen. And we've said all the, he's alive, he died for me, and all these different things. And we have not realized that he came to show us who we are in person. It's one thing to talk to somebody over the phone. It's one thing to be texting or emailing. It's one thing, but it's a whole nother ball game to talk to somebody in person. In person, you begin to see the facial reactions. You begin to feel their energy. You begin to see, are they lying to me? Are they telling me the truth? Sometimes in person, ain't all that special sometimes, because sometimes in person, you can smell the breath now. You know what I'm saying? You can see that, but that's neither here nor there. In person becomes more alive. Right? In person becomes, we live in a generation now where in person has become virtual. Right now, we're doing it now and by force, but it can be very impersonal now. You could be texting somebody so much, you don't even talk to them anymore. Or you could FaceTime and really think you had FaceTime, right? Like these are the concepts, but you can never take away the personal touch. I thank God for our lawgivers and our lawkeepers and our governors and officials and presidents and all those things that lead us and the things they put in measure to try to protect the masses. But we need to be in person. We need to be together at different times, because iron can't sharpen iron through FaceTime. Clink, 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 clink. You can hold a sword up through FaceTime, or hold a sword, but they'll never connect each other to sharpen each other. And so, although I appreciate technology, it allows us to do a lot of things that we could not do as quick or quicker before, but it's nevertheless the personal touch is important. So now Jesus' whole point was to make what God had been talking about the whole time, the whole process. His job was to make it personal. So Jesus would make statements. Now, listen to what I'm saying. He would make statement as he said, he that believeth on me, as he said before he leave, he that believeth on me, the works that I do. Come on, you go ahead and finish it. Should he do also? And greater works, what? Yeah, greater works he do, because I go into the Father. So Jesus makes these statements like this over and over again. He said, anything you ask in my name. All right, let's break down name, because we think the name of Jesus is a prayer. We think the name of Jesus is Alakazam at the end of a prayer. Or in the name of Jesus. We say it so much. It becomes one word, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You don't even separate the word in the name of Jesus. It's like one long word. And we say it so much. But how many times you just said in the name of Jesus and didn't receive what you prayed for? Or how many times you said you put Jesus' name on something, but it didn't work out like it was supposed to? Does that mean that Jesus' name don't work? Does it mean that it's not profitable? No, that's not what it is. We don't understand what Jesus' name in Jesus' name means. So now we got to break it down. The word name means a character. When you say name, it's a character. It's a personality. It's what comes along. It's how that particular name thinks. So I'm a Thompson. So now there's certain things that come along with me being a Thompson. In this circle right here, first thing you think about is apostle. So now you see apostle, you start thinking, okay, well, he needs to handle himself a certain way because he's a Thompson. When I was in school, they used to call me Lil Thompson. So now the teacher would call me and expect me to be a certain way because they knew where I came from. They knew my people, right? I know your people, who your daddy is. Okay, I know your dad. So now I'm expecting you to be a certain way. And watch this, if you don't be a certain way, I know who to contact. I know, if you don't act like I know your pedigree of family is supposed to act, sometimes it wasn't a good thing because, you know, there were some things that my dad in the former years and my uncles and everything carried. So people that knew them from younger would be like, oh, you a Thompson. You know what I'm saying? So it carries the character, how you think, how you're supposed to be. Sometimes it carries the character. Now I walk into a place, I could walk into probably any church in America, any place, and I'd have a certain level of respect because I am a Thompson, because I'm related to Apostle Thompson. It's a character, so they expect a certain thing from me. That doesn't mean I am that or I'll be that all the time, but they expect that because I am, right now, even in the office sometimes that we're doing work, I walk in, you know, and I may give an instruction. That may be the exact instruction that need to be done, but people won't carry them out like they should. Or people won't, it doesn't have as much weight. But when I come and say, Apostle said, right? I notice there's a lot of preaching. Sometimes I preach, man, and people look at me like, and they try to support you or whatever, but they be like, look at whatever he's doing, right? Apostle come and say the exact same words, woo, right? But it's the name, it's the character. So now, when you come in a character, in a name, it's different. So now when I come in the name of Jesus, I can't just come in his authority and his power and what benefits, but I also have to come in his sacrifice and his humility and his meekness and his will. So I can't put the name of Jesus on what I want all the time. Many times we pray that way. No, I have to put the name of Jesus on if I ask anything in his name, in his will, right? In my name, in my name, in my name. He will say this because it's a character. You understand what I'm saying? So now in the name of Jesus. So now doing things in his name, in his will. So now, thou can't believe all things are possible, right? Watch this. He says these things. Thou can, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you ask anything in my name, there's one scripture Jesus says, the day coming, you ain't going to ask me to do nothing. I said, what? Because I know we be asking Jesus to do all kind of stuff on Sundays. We be asking Jesus to do all kind of stuff. He said, the day coming, you ain't going to ask me to do nothing. I said, no. What? You ain't ask, and he said, you ain't going to ask me. And don't ask me. And don't think I'm going to do it because I'm not. You're going to go to the Father for yourself. You can go to the Father in my name. I mean, you're going to have the same character, the same being. Really, he's telling you, you already have the same character and the same being. But now you're going to take that and you're going to go to the Father for yourselves. Many people say, I remember it hit me a couple of Easter ago. Many people say, Jesus died for me. Yeah, he died for you as you to show you how to die. To show you how and who to be. This is the point. Now, when we finish this, when we begin to read this, now the Word of God and studying the Word of God is going to become, you know, it's going to automatically become very, very important to you because it's about you. You know, we're very self-driven and we're self-preservative. And God knows that. He knew how we were. You know what I'm saying? And so when you realize the Bible is a story about you, you'll pick it up and read it a little bit more and look at it a little bit more. And it'll wean out your selfish ways. It'll wean out all the ways that you have that are self-serving, or you're just trying to pray to get it for you. It'll wean all those things out. But this is what he was showing us. He's showing us who we are. Flip over to John chapter 5. And I read this in our very first class a couple of weeks ago, but I'll read it again to give some more context. John chapter 5, verse 39, and once again, whatever I read, you have to go up and read it. It'll unfold so many things to you and so much truth to you about who you really are when you read the context. But go down to verse 39, and this is Jesus talking. He says, search the scriptures, script, right? For in them you think you have eternal life. So now you're telling me that I can be in the scriptures and think I have eternal life. You mean tell me I can actually be searching the scriptures and really think I'm walking in eternal life? And not be there. Search scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, right? So he's saying you're trying to get eternal life out of the law. You're trying to get eternal life out of the principle. You're trying to get eternal life, listen to what I'm saying, out of the script. But remember now, The only thing that can produce life is life. Jesus talked about every fruit should bear fruit after its own kind. That means people can't produce people. Right? The only thing that can produce life is life. So search them scriptures or the written, because in them you think it's going to give you eternal life. He says, and they are they which testify of me. So now the scriptures have been connected to a person, a personality, a live entity. And we read verse 39, but then verse 40 says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So what is Jesus saying here? Yes, go to ministry school. Yes, go to church. Read the scripture. Do your little devotions, your little morning devotion, your little books and everything. Like, do it. Search them. It's not a bad thing to search them. But your search is incomplete and unfinished if they do not end up with me. There's a lot of people searching a lot of things in the world. There's a lot of different types of intelligence in the world. A lot of people are very intelligent in different things. And so some things are good, some things are bad, some things are profitable, some things are destructive. There's a lot of searching going on. But the search is a true search when it ends up with the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I have the truth, I know the truth, I speak the truth. He said, I am the truth. Once again, he's taking truth and making it person. He's taking the way and making it a person. He's taking life and he making it a person. He doesn't leave it on a page or somewhere else. He makes it impersonal right there where you are. So now he says, but you will not come to me. Does that mean you can get stuck in the scripture and miss Jesus? Well, I've seen it for years. I've seen it throughout the church for years. I've seen it. It still appalls me and amazes me how we have services going on in all these different places in the world and these big churches, and they have 5 and 6 services and all these different things going on, all these crusades and great men of God and all this stuff. And people are grossly neglecting the red words. It amazes me. We follow more of the letters of Paul than we follow the live words, which are red words of Jesus. Yeah. The book of Acts, and then after the book of Acts, you got Romans, and it goes on Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and all these different Ephesians, all right? These were letters. He wasn't even in there. Those are secondhand letters written and read to a congregation. Paul wasn't even there. He wasn't even there in person when those people read those letters to the church at Ephesus, or the church in Rome, or the church in Philippi, or the church in Galatia. He wasn't even there. It was a letter written from another place to them. It was very secondhand. And we take those, I'm not knocking those at all, but we take those and try to live by those more than we live by the live accounts of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are literal live accounts of walking with the Messiah. Literal live accounts of Jesus speaking right there in person. There's no scripture that says Jesus wrote a letter or Jesus wrote this down. The only writing I saw Jesus do when he wrote in the dust, wrote in the sand when they were trying to, that woman that was taken in authority, taken in adultery. He started writing the sand. Nobody knows what he wrote. He said he was a sin catcher. It's the only time I see him writing. Probably another time he's writing, but he didn't write no books. He didn't write no letters. He was there in person. I am the letter. That's what he says. I'm it in the person. You don't need me to write it to you because I'm here. He's telling you that right now as well. Right here on the inside. It is who you are. You're one with the Father. Jesus makes a statement. He said, I'm in the Father. The Father in me, you in me, and I'm in you. What are we saying? He says, you're in the Father, and the Father's in you. We're one. John 17 is grossly overlooked. But he said the last prayer before he takes it, goes to the cross, and he said, Father, I just want them, I pray that they realize they one with you, even as we are one. Well, we missed that for years because we missed Jesus for years because we overlook him. So here he is, and the sole purpose for him being here is to show us who we are. Thank God we weren't left with just Emmanuel. Thank Emmanuel. No, he gave us Emmanuel, right? He didn't just give us a manual. Well, that's good. Somebody gonna try to preach that, take that. Go ahead, you got it. You got it. Just remember where you got it from. He didn't just give us a manual. He gave us Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. That's Jesus. He called his name Emmanuel. That means God was with us, right? And now God is showing us who he is in us through Christ. Jesus speaks this over and over and over and over again, telling you that the word is alive. If you abide in me, John 15, and my words are alive, abide, or live in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. You can have what you will, but now the word has to be alive in you, and you alive in it. Not some other idea. Many of our prayers are unanswered. Or thank God a lot of our prayers are unanswered. God, sometimes, but hear what I'm saying. Sometimes your unanswered prayer is grace from God. Because God, dog it, I know I'm glad I ain't get everything that I prayed for. Sometimes the grace of God blocks my prayers. You ain't never heard nobody say that in your life. At times, the grace of God blocks your prayers. Because you're about to get something that you don't want. God was trying to be gracious to the children of Israel. In the book of Samuel, they said they wanted a king in there. See? We want a king. And you know, they were doing it because Samuel had appointed his sons. His sons was living raggedy, all kinds of different ways. And so the people were upset, and they said, we want a king. And God said, Samuel, you think they're rejecting you, but they're rejecting me. Go back and tell them this. Tell them that if you get a king, he's going to take your sons and make them servants. He's going to take your sons. They're going to go to war for him. They're going to do all kinds of stuff just on his behalf. You'll no longer have the quality of life that you have. They're going to take your daughter. They're going to turn them into bakers and confectionaries. And I'm pretty sure you're talking about concubines and all kinds of other things, right? He's going to do all this stuff if you get a king. They say, yeah, but we want a king. We saw these people over here. They got a king, so we want one too. And so God gave them a king. And everything that God said happened to him. Everything that God told him would happen. And what's funny about it is, you ready for this? This is living by the books of story. What's funny about this is, right after they said they want a king, this one we meet Saul. And Saul was anointed by God to be king. What are you talking about? That tells me that God will allow you to have whatever it is you think you want. God didn't stop them from eating on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He told them they shouldn't, but he didn't stop them. See, man's own will becomes man's own destruction. Every problem that we have here on the earth right now is because of man's will away from God. His own will outside of what God's will is. So once again, here's Jesus to rectify the will of God, to show us what we originally were supposed to be, who we're supposed to be, and how we're supposed to be functioning. So not just because you're praying in Jesus' name that you get things. You've got to ask a certain way. You've got to be a certain way. This is living by the book is. Life. Life by the book. Life. Life by the book. They testify, verse 40, but you won't come to me that you might receive life. The scriptures testify. They tell the truth about me. And when they tell the truth about me, they tell the truth about you. This is living by the book. This is what it means. So now, this, I guarantee you, and I guarantee you, I'll make a guarantee. If you start reading the book, y'all better hear what I'm about to say. If you start reading the scriptures from the inside out, stop using chronological order and going in order or going in. No. Don't read it based on principle, searching in the concordance, looking for certain words. No. How about reading the scripture from the inside out? When I say this, you know, just as on the inside of you is red, right, with your blood, on the inside of the scripture, the very inside of the scripture is red. Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the inside of the scripture is red, and we should read from the life source on out. I guarantee you, if you would master the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read from there, and begin to master them over and over, just read them over and over. I got a thing I do, I read it in 30 days over and over again, right? I read through three chapters a day, read them over and over again. I'll begin to master the master. I get a master's degree in the master, right? And then I go from there, and now I'm so drenched in red. I've been dipped in red. I've been washed in red. I've been brainwashed in red to the point now that when I read, it's red. So now I compare every word to the red words. So now even when I go from there and go read about Isaiah, or even go there and read about Jeremiah, or go there and read about Job, I'm reading in the context of the red. And it opens it up to me. It opens up the truth to me about who we are and who we should be and where we could be outside of red. If you just read it from the inside out. Yeah, read it from the inside out. You know, we read from this way to this way. So we have a book and we open it and we turn the pages that way. You know, the old Tanakh and it's the old Jewish law before the New Testament, the way they wrote it in the Hebrew and the Aramaic, they would read the other way. So the book would actually start this way and flip back the other way. So somebody's trying to find some kind of direction. But I know the real direction now is not from that way to that way, or not from that way to that way, but from this way to that way. Everything grows from the inside out. When you see a flower, what they do? They blossom. When we grow, we come from a small little seed and then we end up growing with limbs and everything into who we are. Everything works from the inside out. So your walk with the Father and your study of the scripture of who you are should work the same way from the inside out. Thank God we didn't get the Bible in pieces. There are a lot of people that came before us years before that didn't have the Gospels. It's even written that Paul wrote his letters before he had the Gospel. The Gospel was written after the letters, after the epistles. So it can give you some understanding, some context of what's going on. So from the inside out, say it, from the inside out. I study the word from the inside out. I read the word from the inside out. I live from the inside out. All right, class, God bless you. We'll catch up next class and pick up from there. Amen.